Yes, it is a privilege to be in your house again this evening. Dwayne was just speaking about that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that, of course, that friend is Jesus. And he's here tonight in our midst. And I always think of that. The crowd isn't very big, but I always think of that promise that where two or three are gathered together, he will be in the midst, and I'm sure he's here already. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14 and reading to verse 2 of chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Those who are able, and you'll for prayer.
I think we should always pray earnestly. But I just think we ought to have special prayer for Brother Dwayne. Elias in James 5, we always read these that when we anoint someone. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Earnestly. And it might not rain. And I think that we all should be. We'd pray for Brother Dwayne. I love to hear him preach, don't you? I just think we need somebody like that to spread the word and to preach the gospel. We want to look at this scripture here, but we're going to be looking at the thought of... I thought a lot of us here, it takes a special effort to come out on a Sunday evening. And I don't know that the Spirit just told me, talk about heaven tonight. You know, we're going there, aren't we? We're all looking forward to heaven and going there. And so we're going to look at some things. You know, we don't know everything about heaven, but we do know enough to whet our appetite and to want to get there when this life is over. And I think maybe you think more about that when you get older. Because you know that you don't have much time here anymore on this earth. And you look forward to heaven, to be with Jesus. I want to ask you two questions tonight. And listen carefully when I ask these questions. How many here tonight do not believe in a literal hell? I'd like to see your hands. Nobody. How many do not believe in a literal heaven? We all believe in heaven, don't we? We want to look at some things about heaven. But first of all, I'd like to just point out a couple words that we read here. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4, for which cause we faint not, We almost faint sometimes, don't we? Is it worth it all? Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm finding out more of that as I get older. The outward man is perishing. But praise God, I look forward. The inward man is renewed day by day. And then down in chapter 5, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Isn't that wonderful? We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal. And we're going to be different. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The Lord's going to come, take us home. He's going to change each one of us. We're going to wear white robes. I often think about that, white robes. Well, I could talk about that a little bit, but we want to go in here. In a cemetery in Hanover, Germany, we are told there's a grave that has huge slabs of granite and marble cemented together and fastened with steel clasps. It belongs to a woman who did not believe in a resurrection of the dead. It's kind of funny, isn't it? She didn't believe in that. What did she bother with that? But anyhow, yet strangely, she said in her will that she wanted her grave made so secure that if it were a resurrection, they couldn't reach her. On a marker at the grave site were inscribed these words, "This burial place must never be opened." But you know what? You probably know that story. A seed grew, a tiny seed, grow into a big tree, and it bursted apart, all that cement, all that those clasps. Eventually, the grave was torn apart. You know what? A tiny seed had become a tree that pushed aside those stones. And I want to tell you tonight, the dynamic force contained in that little seed is a faint reflection of their tremendous power of God. I don't care if somebody's cremated or if they're dumped into the ocean. It doesn't matter. God's going to bring it all together at the end time. We serve a God that's tremendous. He has tremendous power. And why would that be a problem to someone who made something out of nothing when he spoke our countries into existence? Faith in the risen Christ opens the door to believe the resurrection guarantees. It's a guaranteed. We're going to be raised, a glorious new body and a home in heaven. The hour will come, as Jesus said, when earth and sea will yield their dead. What bliss for those who know the Lord, but what regret or pain for those who've spurned his word. Heaven's a real place. I want to tell you tonight that heaven's a real place. And we can read that about it in 1 Thessalonians. I'm not going to turn to that. We read it at the funeral sometimes. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. And it says there, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." That there word ignorant really struck to me. What do you mean when he said, we're not to be ignorant of this? I don't think, you know, we think of people that are ignorant, they just don't have it or something. It's not with it. But I believe here he means he wants us to know that he's coming back for us. He's preparing a place for us. We don't understand it all. We don't understand all about heaven. But going to heaven, dear ones, it's not automatic. We read in the paper sometimes, we often do, this person went to heaven. They died and went to heaven. Well, maybe they did, I don't know, but I don't believe everybody does. And it seems like it's so many in our paper that feel that way, that everything's all right. When they die, everything's fine. But we prepare. Going to heaven is not automatic. It's not automatic. How many here tonight that don't want to go to heaven? I'm sure everybody, all of us do. We sing many songs about heaven. Our song, our black book has a lot of songs about heaven in it. We talk about heaven. We read about heaven. But where is heaven? What's it like? Who'll go there? Will we know each other there? There are a lot of questions about heaven, and I certainly don't expect to answer them all tonight. The story is told of little Jimmy that sat quietly in his seat on the train, even though they were traveling through some flat, dry, and boring country. A motherly woman leaned forward and asked sympathetically to this little fellow, "Aren't you tired of this long ride with all the dust and heat?" Jimmy looked up, smiling, and he answered, "Yes, ma'am, I am a little. But I don't mind it too much, for you see, my daddy is going to meet me when I get to the end of my ride." The same is true for us. You know, sometimes we get it gets rough. We get weary. We may even get discouraged. But if we keep our minds and our eyes on the end of this earthly road, our Heavenly Father will meet us there. And great will be our entrance into that eternal abode. Yes, heaven's a real place. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. I want to read you a poem here that I brought along, if I can find it. The Road That Leads Home. I've been on a long, long journey, and it's been a rough road. It's been a rough old road. But I just keep pressing onward, though I carry a heavy load. Many times I've asked the question, why do I keep plodding on? But it's then I am reminded, this old road will lead me home. Though I stumble on the pathway, though I fall along the way, there's still hope for my tomorrows, and there's strength for me today. For there's a hand that stretches downward, makes my feet to walk again. Though my journey may be rugged, he'll be with me till the end. Yes, this old road has been rocky, but I don't travel it alone. My dear Lord is with me as I cross each stepping stone. Day by day, we're getting closer to those gates that will swing wide, where I'll be welcomed home to heaven as Jesus leads us safe inside. Now, the Bible speaks about three heavens, and we want to just look at those for a minute. The atmosphere which surrounds the earth, the realm of the birds, the air, the clouds, I believe that's the first heaven. He gave us rain from heaven, Acts 14:17 says. Genesis 7:11, at the time of the flood, God opened the windows of heaven. So the first heaven is what we see all around us. Now the second heaven, I believe, is the sphere that we see the stars and the planets. Astronomers tell us that there are approximately, listen to this, I can't believe it hardly, 100 billion stars in a galaxy. And there are many galaxies. Can you imagine that? U.S. News and World Report told of a satellite that was sent out to gather information, and at that time was 1 million miles away from Earth. The second heaven is beyond our human comprehension. The third heaven is where Paul went, I believe, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. I believe it's the dwelling place of God. This is the heaven we usually refer to as heaven. And this is the heaven that we want to talk a little bit about yet tonight. And we want to look at four areas. Where is heaven? Is heaven a real place? What is heaven like? And who will be there? Where's heaven? We don't know exactly where this third heaven is, but we do get some hints from the scriptures. 2 Kings chapter 2 tells us that Elijah was taken up. Acts 1, 9 and 10, Jesus was taken up. But where is up? Psalm 11:4 declares the Lord's throne is in heaven. Psalm 75, 6 and 7, promotion or exaltation comes with neither from the east, the west, or the south. And what's left? North. It appears he is saying that God's throne is north. We are told that the North Star remains constant in its position. And the solar system seems to revolve around the North Star. Now when Isaiah wrote about Lucifer, Lucifer said, "I'll ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the clouds, above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Where then could be a more appropriate place for heaven? Nevertheless, we cannot be sure where heaven is, and it's not really that important, is it? Once we go there, it doesn't matter where it is. Really, it doesn't matter. But isn't it good to know that we're going to be going up away from this old world of sin, sorrow, and wickedness? I hope it's soon, don't you, that he comes? Heaven, number two, heaven is a real place. I've never seen a city that I'd like to live in. And I guess it's not good that everybody feels that way. Many people like to live in the city. But Bud Robinson was shown by a friend New York City. And he was asked afterward what his impression was of that city. And he replied, "Of all the sights of New York City, the sights, the gaiety, the hustle and bustle, I didn't see a thing that I'd want." But we do want to go to heaven, and that's different. And in that same city, suppose there was a city where people never got sick, they never died, all cripples were restored. In that same city, everyone was truly happy. No jealousy, no hate, no crime, no wantonness. You'd think that people would rush, wouldn't you, to go to a place like that. That's heaven. You'd think that people would rush to be a citizen, but that doesn't work that way. And it's heaven. People aren't flocking to get citizenship there. Charles Hostetter talks, and many of us remember Charles Hostetter. He tells how before his parents died, some friends had taken a picture of them, and they enlarged it And after the parents had died, they sent an enlarged picture to them, to the Hostetter family. Now, five-year-old little Chucky, 5 years old, was allowed to open the letter or the whatever, the little package. Now, he knew that his grandparents had died. And when he opened the package, he exclaimed, "Oh, wasn't that nice of Grandma and Grandpa to have their picture taken in heaven and send us one?" Is heaven as real to you and to me as it was to little Chucky? John 14:1-3, you know this, you know those verses. They're very familiar verses. There's going to be mansions there. The songwriter says sometimes that I don't need a mansion. If I just have a corner of the glory land, and I kind of feel that way too. As long as we get to heaven, that's what counts. I don't care much. I don't need a mansion up there. Do you? I appreciated a statement that was printed in one of the Bible helps. Heaven is a real place. It's as real as Chicago or London. When we write the word heaven, we should begin it with a capital letter. And I say amen to that. Heaven is a real place, a country, a city, a home. God made heaven, and it's a prepared place for a prepared people. I read somewhere that Jews don't completely finish their home. They leave a spot unfinished. I read this. I don't know if it's, I guess it's true. George would probably know this, maybe. I don't know. But it says there that they don't finish, that it's a testimony that this is not their permanent home. But heaven is completed. It's our eternal home. How big is heaven? Room for everybody. I remember one time, I don't know who, somebody was concerned that we're going to run out of room. We're getting too many people. But that's not true. And God's going to make sure there's plenty of room in heaven for everybody that goes there. It's not going to be full. Not going to be too full for us. How big is heaven? For everyone that goes there, who makes the proper reservations, no one will be turned out for lack of room. Our God does everything right. How small does puny man think our Lord is? God, who has made everything good. We don't need to worry about a God doing his part. We need to worry about ourselves being ready. And we don't know the day, the hour, the moment when we're going to leave. I think that we ought to sing a lot about heaven. I love to think of my home above in the glorious realms of light. Well, we could just quote a lot of songs, and I love songs. What will heaven be like? Heaven's a perfect place, no defects, nothing to mar its beauty. The Apostle Paul said, we cannot imagine how wonderful heaven is. You know, we were, when we went west in America's desert land, we were all stricken. How wonderful this place was. Pike's Peak. When we got sight of the Rocky Mountains. Awesome. And then we just say, oh God, how great thou art. How great thou art. When you look down in the Grand Canyon of Arizona and walk barefoot in the white sands of New Mexico, When you see the mesas, the rock formations, I love the West. That's, I guess you can catch that. I did love when we could go to the West. We took Steve and Vera one time, and we really had an enjoyable time, didn't we? We sure did. Arid country. But we enjoyed it. We can't express the grandeur, but the same God who created the beauties of nature also created heaven. And I believe, don't you, that God's saving the best for last. Let's turn to Revelation, the last chapters 21 and 22. Get a little picture of some of the things. A new heaven, new earth, verse 1 and 21. God's going to wipe all tears away. We have tears, verse 4, no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain, for these things are going to be passed away. And verse 5 says, behold, I make all things new. And in verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh my, we could just go on with this. Look at verse chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the mouth, out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. And some people say it's going to be a lot of trees, not just one. I don't know. It says the tree of life here, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and that I don't understand. Maybe the one that closes will. I don't understand that. The healing of the nations. But anyhow, it's going to be a pure river of water. God is saving the best for last. Everything's going to be new in heaven. No decay, no repair bills. The city's paved with gold. Its walls are jasper. I think that would be like glass, real shiny and beautiful. He's saving the best for last, dear ones. Don't miss it. No last goodbyes. Vance Havner tells, when I go to my apartment, his wife died. He waited pretty long to get married, and when he did, his wife died first, and several years before he did. He's going to now. And I guess you probably had enough of Vance Havner from me. But he says, when I go to my apartment, there will be no one there to greet me, and I'll swallow hard when I set my suitcase down. It's been over 8 years since she's gone, and I never get used to it. I never get used to it. What will it be like in heaven? I think there's going to be some wonderful things in heaven for the redeemed. We want to look first at some of the things that won't be there. And we know we've read some of that. There won't be no unkind words. No kidney stones. No cancer. No broken bones. No headaches. No backaches. It's all going to be gone. Bible says heaven is going to be real to those who have been born again, to all of us who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our brother sang that tonight. We all sang it. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Someone has written that there's a sign along a road in Ohio that says, drive carefully, heaven can wait. Evidently, whoever put that sign up for everyone to see, they thought everybody's going to get to heaven, I guess. I don't believe everybody will get to heaven that thinks they're going to be there. But we know that isn't true. Is my name written there on the page, white and fair? That old black hymnal has some meaty songs in it, some things to make you think. Is my name written there? I remember David Lehigh preaching one time, and he said, please search the book again. I think there's a song, something like that. And see if my name ain't there. Please search the book again. Jesus will be there. That's enough. Jesus is there. The one who gave his life for me. The most important person will be there. He's going to make heaven, heaven. The rest will be incidental. You ever think of that? The rest will be incidental. Fanny Crosby captures the thought of Jesus' presence there most beautiful. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more now shall sing, but oh, the joy when I awake within the palace of the king. Someday till then, I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him will take its flight. Who will be there? Loved ones. Fullness of joy is going to be there. All will be joy and gladness. Like I said before, we have a share of troubles, but not over there. I believe we're even going to work in heaven. I don't know what heaven's going to be completely, but I believe if we do work, it's not going to hurt our backs, and it's not going to be drudgery. I believe we'll just be glad to do it, glad to work there. I'm sure that there's going to be some work there for all of us. I don't think we're just going to sit back and take it easy. I don't understand heaven altogether, but if we work there, we're going to have perfect understanding. No devil in heaven. Praise God for that. Won't be no devil there. That'll be something wonderful in itself. You know, people are age conscious. People want to live long, but they don't want to get old. I don't believe age will make any difference in heaven. I often wondered if our little daughter, Karen, if she's going to be little when we get to heaven. We might not even know her. I don't know. I'm not sure about who we're going to know in heaven. But age to the Lord doesn't make any difference, because he doesn't count days and years as we do. It's something, too, I don't understand completely. I guess you wonder why I'm up here if I don't understand some of this stuff, but I don't. But I just, there's enough about heaven in the scriptures that I want to go there, don't you? Amen. It's going to be an eternal, fadeless, changeless life. We're going to have plenty of water there. In Revelation, we read it. Revelation 22:1, a pure river of water, no contamination. What tastes better than a drink of cold water on these hot summer days like we're having? Nothing beats that cold water. We're going to have plenty of it there. What that old rich man in Luke 16 would have done for a drink of that water. Dear ones, today I trust that this message on heaven may bring heaven a little nearer to our hearts. May it inspire us to be sure that we don't miss that wonderful place. Jesus said, occupy till I come. While we're here, we need to prepare, even with all our work that we have day by day. Prepare for heaven, dear ones. Prepare for heaven. We need to be watching and ready for our Savior's return. It's a real place. It's a place of truth and perfection. We don't want to be like the story I read about a ship that got off its course and wrecked on an unknown island. And the people escaped safely to the island. They had a good supply of food. They had seeds to plant. Some of them began to explore the uninhabited island and reported the fact that they found gold. That gold took their minds. They forgot to plant their seeds. They had a big pile of gold. But alas, they forgot to sow seeds for their winter food. Winter came, they died for lack of food in the midst of their great riches. Listen, dear ones, heaven's going to be worth it all, and we got to make proper preparations for it. And Jesus is the only way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except you repent. You shall all likewise perish. William Beiderwolf told of a girl who was blind from her birth. She never saw the many beauties that we behold and take for granted. All she knew was what her mother tried to tell her. One day her parents heard of a noted surgeon who could make her see. So he operated on, they went to this surgeon. He operated on her eyes. And one day the bandages were removed and she could see. She ran to the window and then into her mother's arms, and she exclaimed, "Oh, mother, why didn't you tell me? It's so beautiful." And her mother, wiping away the tears, replied, "I tried to, but I couldn't." Just so, we can't paint a picture real clearly about heaven. But I had said at the beginning, we know enough about the Holy Word that it's going to far exceed any evaluation that we can make here about heaven. Van Savener, after he talked about his wife Sarah, he said that she would often be heard singing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." We stood on the Smoky Mountains, he says, one October evening, viewing the matchless autumn glory, when one of the group said, "It can't be far from here to heaven." And Van Savener says, "It's never far to heaven. When your life is hid with Christ in God, and it can't be long until he comes or we go."
I was glad that Brother Robert brought in about the new heaven in the last word or the last chapters of Revelation. As he was preaching about heaven, I thought of this chapter. Often, as I'm getting older now, sometimes feel a little discouraged. I think of this new heaven. We don't know what heaven is now, but we know there's going to be a new heaven. And also it says it's going to be a new earth. People don't understand what that means either, but God's word said it's going to be when this world is destroyed. I believe there's going to be a new earth along with this new heaven where the river, the clear waters will flow through it. The gates and come down onto this earth. It's going to be a wonderful place. We're glad for the message that we have tonight. Shall we stand to have a word of prayer?